Elizabeth Holmes seemed destined to change the world. A Stanford dropout with piercing blue eyes and unwavering confidence, she promised nothing short of a healthcare revolution. Comprehensive blood testing from just a finger prick. Her company, Theranos, quickly became Silicon Valley's darling, reaching a $9 billion valuation and making Holmes America's youngest self-made female billionaire. The vision was irresistible. Painless, affordable testing that could detect diseases early and save countless lives. But beneath the black turtlenecks and practiced deep voice lay one of the most elaborate frauds in business history. What makes the Theranos story so compelling isn't just the scale of deception, but how desperately we all wanted to believe in it. Who wouldn't want less painful blood tests? Who wouldn't cheer for a young woman disrupting the male-dominated tech world? The story tapped into our deepest hopes about technology solving human suffering and our willingness to suspend disbelief when reality doesn't match our dreams. Elizabeth Holmes displayed extraordinary ambition early, declaring at age 9 her desire to be a billionaire. Born to a family with Fleischmann yeast fortune connections and medical professionals, success seemed predetermined. At Stanford, her intensity caught Professor Channing Robertson's attention. While classmates embraced college life, Elizabeth remained laser-focused on medical innovation. A SARS outbreak internship inspired her diagnostic patch concept, prompting her to drop out and found real-time cures, later Theranos. She leveraged family connections effectively, securing initial funding from Tim Draper, her childhood friend's father. Despite medical expert skepticism, her charisma attracted $6 million by 2004. When the patch proved unfeasible, she pivoted to new devices without acknowledging these fundamental shifts. Elizabeth's early success came from projecting absolute certainty, even as reality contradicted her claims, a pattern that would ultimately lead to Theranos' downfall. When engineer Edmund Kuh joined Theranos in 2006, he saw that Elizabeth's vision violated basic physics. A finger prick simply couldn't provide enough blood for hundreds of reliable tests. Traditional blood testing requires full tubes because diluting tiny samples leads to significant errors. Elizabeth dismissed these physical limitations, firing dissenting engineers or labeling them not team players. The company squandered millions on single-use cartridges that leaked fluids, contaminated samples, and produced inconsistent results. Influenced by boyfriend Sonny Balwani and mentor Larry Ellison, Elizabeth compartmentalized teams and adopted "the company is all that matters" as her mantra. During a Pfizer pilot study, engineers worked overnight fixing faulty equipment for cancer patient testing. Despite clear failures, Elizabeth declared success, eventually abandoning microfluidics for Edison, essentially a modified glue dispensing robot. While fake it till you make it might work in software, it proved catastrophic in medical testing, making Theranos' failure not a question of if, but how many people would be harmed before its collapse. By 2007, Elizabeth had styled herself as Silicon Valley's next visionary leader, explicitly modeling herself after Steve Jobs. She branded Theranos' system as the iPod of healthcare and recruited Apple employees, including designer Anna Areola. She adopted Jobs' signature black turtleneck and cultivated a distinctive brand, complete with an unnaturally deep speaking voice. Elizabeth studied Jobs' biography, copying everything from his intense stare to his habit of impromptu firings and dramatic product reveals. After his death in 2011, she flew an Apple flag at half-mast and began referring to him as Steve, suggesting a friendship that never existed. Her leadership grew grandiose. She declared the mini-lab the most important thing humanity has ever built, and predicted Theranos would dominate Silicon Valley. Her claimed fear of needles became central to her origin story, though former classmates disputed its truth. While Elizabeth masterfully copied Jobs' surface traits, she missed his fundamental strength, an unwavering commitment to product quality. Jobs might have been difficult, but Apple products worked. Theranos devices did not, a fatal flaw in her emulation. In 2010, Theranos pitched Walgreens with an enticing promise: instant finger prick blood tests at half the cost. Dr. Jay Rosan of Walgreens saw it as revolutionary. Meanwhile, Theranos courted Safeway, where CEO Steve Bird and executive Laurie Renda were drawn to Elizabeth's vision, especially given Renda's personal connection through her husband's cancer battle. Lab consultant Kevin Hunter's red flags, extreme security, no lab access, undemonstrated technology, went unheeded as executives rushed forward, fearing they'd miss the next breakthrough. Safeway invested $350 million in store wellness centers despite mounting delays that Elizabeth attributed to external factors. The truth emerged during employee trials when Chief Medical Officer Kent Bradley discovered Theranos wasn't using its devices on site, delayed results, and outsourced tests. Healthy employees received false abnormal results that tested normal elsewhere. By late 2012, Safeway had spent $100 million on unused wellness centers, far from the projected $250 million annual revenue. These partnerships revealed how Theranos leveraged executives' innovation anxiety to secure major deals without proving their technology worked. Tyler Schultz, grandson of Theranos board member George Schultz, joined the company after Stanford, inspired by Elizabeth's mission to prevent premature deaths. His optimism vanished upon discovering troubling laboratory practices. With colleague Erica Chung, Tyler found Edison devices were basic robotic arms producing unreliable results. The company manipulated data by discarding poor results and misrepresenting accuracy. Their syphilis test claimed 95% sensitivity while showing only 65 to 80% accuracy. Erica exposed how non-licensed employees deleted failed quality control checks and processed patient samples improperly. When Tyler approached his grandfather for help, he encountered unwavering loyalty to Elizabeth. After raising concerns directly with Elizabeth, Sonny Balwani's dismissive response led to Tyler's resignation. Theranos fought back through intimidation, with lawyers confronting Tyler at his grandfather's home and threatening costly litigation. Despite threats to bankrupt his family, he stood firm. The whistleblowers exposed Silicon Valley's tendency to value narrative and valuation over ethics, helping uncover one of business history's greatest frauds. The Wall Street Journal's October 2015 exposé revealed Theranos' deceptions, using conventional machines, diluting samples, and manipulating results. Holmes defended herself on CNBC as a persecuted visionary, while at Theranos, she led a bizarre staff meeting where employees chanted against the journalist, revealing the company's cult-like culture. A Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services inspection confirmed the fraud. Their report showed Theranos used its proprietary devices for only 12 of 250 tests, with Edison's failing quality control 33% of the time. Holmes fired Balwani, voided thousands of test results, and lost the Walgreens partnership. CMS banned both Holmes and Theranos from the lab business. The SEC charged Theranos, Holmes, and Balwani with fraud in 2018. Holmes received 11 years in prison, Balwani nearly 13. The scandal exposed the dangers of founder worship and venture capital's misguided focus on disruption. It proved that while technology can be revolutionary, it must obey physical laws, and in healthcare, fake it till you make it is unconscionable.